This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to another episode of The Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast, with your hosts, Bill Patterson and Chet West.
He's got his Lance Parrish jersey on. He's ready to go for opening day. Good job, Bill. Bill, what are we looking at today? Wow, look at those Dodgers uniforms. Holy cow. We've got gold. Goodness gracious.
Good evening, Chet, and happy opening day. Best day of the year. I'm fantastic. How are you?
It's a holiday. I love me some opening day baseball. Did you? So initial thoughts, we're sitting here kind of watching the preamble to the Tigers opening day. What are your thoughts? Have you looked at these Dodger jerseys?
I will check them out momentarily. I have my news and notes pulled up right now.
You want to do your news and go fire away. Why don't we get that going?
I want to go around the horn.
Tell us what's happened today so far on opening day. Give us an opening day glimpse.
Well, the most exciting thing was the Baltimore Orioles, Tyler O'Neill, homered in his sixth straight opening day, which is an MLB record. And he's a native Canadian, and he did it at the Rogers Center in Toronto, which is just awesome. Now, I don't know what happens to Tyler O'Neill the rest of the season. I will make a footnote to keep track of him on a weekly basis for us, but six straight opening day dingers is nothing short of awesome. Going around the horn, the Orioles clobbered the Blue Jays 12-2. The Yankees beat the Brewers in the Bronx 4-2. We've got a couple other finals. The Red Sox traveled down to Arlington, took care of the Rangers 5-2. Giants eked one out at the Great American Ballpark against Cincinnati and the Reds 6-4. Chicago White Sox clobbered the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, or whatever they're called, 8-1 on the South Side, in the South Side. And the only extra innings game we had was the Guardians of Cleveland traveling to Kansas City and taking care of the Royals in 10 innings, 7-4. And the only other final we have is the Astros winning at home 3-1. So maybe they don't miss Alex Bregman yet, but I'm certain that they will at some point in this season.
So our AL Central games at the moment are Cleveland beating KC today. And it looks like Minnesota's taken one on the chin so far from St. Louis in what was a rain-delayed game.
Yeah, it's 4-0 now.
About halfway through.
Yeah. And I am looking at the uniforms right now as Freddie Freeman goes out first inning. I am not in favor of the gold lettering.
I'm not sure how much I like that.
Yeah, so for those that aren't watching, the Dodgers have their typical home whites, but instead of the blue Dodger cursive script across the chest, it is now a gold font. The interlocking LA on their left sleeve is also gold, and the name and number on the back of the jersey, which is usually Dodger blue, is also gold. And then one of the things that I've always found absolutely great about the Dodgers home uniforms is that everything is white and blue, with the exception of the player's number on the front of the jersey, not the back, only the front being in red. Very, very classy look, and one that the Tigers actually did for a brief period in the early 50s. Not in red. They did theirs in blue, but just something interesting.
That's interesting. That's an interesting tidbit. I like that. It looks like Freeman's out there basking in his World Series MVP honors.
Yes.
And his pretty unreal.
Crazy part is the era logo on the ball caps, gold. The MLB logo on the back of the cap, gold. And the interlocking LA on the front of the cap, gold.
You are a master of detail.
Boy, I gotta say, and this is awesome. We have Fred Freeman on now. That's Freddie's dad.
Fred and Freddie.
He looks nothing like his pops.
I think
he gets his athleticism from his
mom. You
know
who Fred Freeman sort of looks like?
Who's
Ron
that?
Santo.
He does look like Ron Santo.
Sort of looks like Ron Santo a little bit. A bigger Ron Santo, I would say.
Yeah, but I bet he could huck the rock or whatever sport he played, he was probably pretty great at. So
Freddie got it from somewhere. Maybe it's his mom. Maybe his mom was got some baseball in her gene pool
somewhere. Looks like she's got the length, at least.
So I want to touch on Tyler O'Neill real quick with you because he's on my fantasy squad.
That was
I have had him on my fantasy squad for 3 straight years, and I have never played him on opening day. What does that tell you?
I guess we should have had the pod before you set your lineup.
Well, you know, every year I think, well, he's done it 2 opening days in a row. He's not going to do it a third, and then he does. And is that Gibby out there?
That's I got to interrupt real quick.
Yeah, please do.
Throwing out a ceremonial first pitch is a Dodger.
Yeah.
Obviously, the home run in 1988, Kirk Gibson lives on in Dodger lore, but you and I know him.
I'd like to own a piece of Gibby. I'd like to say Detroit owns a piece of Gibby.
Yeah, 1984. Legitimate. Oh, and now we're seeing some Tiger fans in the stands at Chavez Ravine. Gibby also has the gold lettering. Gibby has not aged well.
No, you know what? I don't know. Here's the deal. He still looks quite fit.
He looks like he could run a sub-540.
Yes.
The problem is he played 4 years of football at Michigan State as a flanker.
The knees don't look good at all. He looks great, though.
He does look great. He just isn't moving great.
The knees don't look like they're... The wheels aren't churning like they once did. That's for sure.
Sub-540, but I don't know if he could steal second.
Looks kind of like he did when he ran off that home run for the Dodgers.
I think he was gimpy pretty early in his career.
What are your thoughts on, so they're going through this whole thing right now about the Japan series. Did you hear about the revenues generated from that series?
You know, I was going to let you touch on that.
Oh, you were?
Yeah,
because I don't even have the details right now, but it was an exorbitant amount of money. They made more off of that series, I heard, than they do all of All-Star Weekend. That's kind of the buzzy clip to take away from that.
Is that surprising?
I mean, 2 games against the Cubs, and I think there were 2 games against the local NPL teams. NPBL teams. It was something like, what was it, 40 million? I can't even remember the number now, but it was crazy. They made more off of that than they do the All-Star Weekend.
Phenomenal.
So there's a reason they do it, and not a lot of people like the fact that the regular season starts a week and a half ahead or whatever, but they're making money off of it, so they're going to keep doing it.
It's the future. I would say the All-Star Game comparison's a little bittersweet, though, because I still think the only All-Star Game worth playing of the 4 major sports at this point happens to be MLB's. The Pro Bowl has now morphed into a Nerf football, flag football competition? Skills competition.
Yeah, it's a thing.
The NBA has been, you know, a gong show, no defense played.
They're picking teams. I have no idea what's going on there.
Yeah. And then the NHL obviously pivoted and had great success with their nation's tournament of just 4 teams, which I still find a little precarious. I mean, obviously Canada and the U.S. being the 2 big ones there, but the fact that Finland and Sweden were included, but teams like Russia or Slovakia or the Czech Republic, Germany were not, was just a little curious. We'll see going forward on that. But I hope MLB keeps its All-Star Weekend. It's still one of my all-time favorite trivia questions, which I'll give to you right now.
Go for it.
What is the 2 days of the calendar year when there are no major sporting events played, meaning no MLS, no Major League Baseball, no NBA, no NFL, no European soccer, no NBA, NHL?
I think. Is this going to be obvious? Is this going to fall on like holidays? I don't feel like it would. We play sports on all the holidays now.
It's the day before and the day after the All-Star Game for Major League Baseball.
Really? It's like a dead zone.
It's a sports desert. I mean, I'm not counting the home run derby that's the night before, or like a veterans game, or, you know, Buster only interviewing people as a sporting event.
I think it's fascinating. I mean, the Dodgers, there's data around this. The Dodgers have apparently added $70 million in sponsorship revenue just signing Shohei. So the value of this international pull is huge.
That's what I was trying to punctuate last week in terms of Shohei's ability. Yeah. Now, I agree with you. In Europe, it's not going to play because they don't really care about baseball in most of those countries. But the fact is, if you can get Japan, China, Korea, you know, countries that...
What if we got like a really good French baseball player? Is that possible?
Yeah, anything's possible. I mean, if I told you there was going to be a really
Victor Wembanyama for MLB.
Exactly.
Would that boost our ratings in Europe?
Yes, but before we get to first pitch, can I do the starting lineup?
Give it to me.
This one's
I see it. Yep.
Wacky.
Do it.
starting or batting leadoff.
Everybody said this was going to happen. Andy Abanios. Oh, my gosh.
Andy Abanios at third base batting leadoff.
Well, let me take a sip, a dry sip on that.
Yeah, yeah. Have a sip of your wine there. I've just got some water with a liquid IV. Gleyber Torres, second base, batting second. Riley Green playing left field, batting third. Our guy, Spencer Torkelson, DH, batting cleanup.
Our guy.
And then the new signing, Margot, playing right field. So
there he is.
You sign him to play center field, and then you don't even put him in center field. You've got Riley Green, who's more than capable at center field, and you refuse to play him in center field. I digress. So that's the five hole. Colt Keith, first base, six. Javi Baez, batting seventh and starting at short. Our guy, the mustache, Rogers, playing catcher, batting eighth. And then Ryan Creedler, starting center fielder, batting ninth, and he was optioned down to AAA Toledo. He was a mud hen for about a minute, and
he's back.
Back up.
And I'll give Ibanez some credit. He swung at the very first pitch and rifled it right at Muncy at third base. Hot shot down the line, Muncy catches it. It's not like, you know, he came out swinging.
He made contact. And apparently whatever stomach ailment Mookie Betts had in Japan is now subsided because he's
as thankful. Thankful for that because he is also a fantasy member of my squad.
What's your team name?
I paid dearly, dearly for him. My team name is Michigan and Trumbull.
Ooh, I like that. I like that a lot. And nod to the old Tiger Stadium.
It's a league with teams from across the country. So I had to kind of do something subtle to plant my flag for Detroit.
Stake your claim.
But he gets it.
I got it right away, but then again, I'm also your co-host here on
100%. You should get it. But the other guys that are from like Boston and stuff are like, huh? What's Michigan in trouble? They just call it Michigan.
They're not really baseball fans.
Yeah. No, I know.
So Blake Snell is doing what Blake Snell typically does here. He's got a 2-2 count on Torres right now.
Just so Gleyber's in the two-hole, which doesn't shock me in the least.
No. I don't even mean to stutter on this.
Yeah.
I still don't think we have a leadoff hitter, and I still don't think we have a center fielder.
Well, you don't have a leadoff hitter when your leadoff hitter in the very first game of the season isn't taking the very first pitch, first of all. Uh-huh. He went right after pitch one and rifled it. So,
speaking of, let's do an RIP for Ricky Henderson, because right now he is rolling over in his grave for the fact that a leadoff hitter swung at the first pitch.
Gleyber just grounded out to second. It looked like he stumbled quite a bit coming out of the box, which wasn't pretty looking.
Yeah, he already looks a little tender on that ankle. Did he just
break something? What happened there? It wasn't pretty.
Could be a sore hammy. I don't know. Let's see.
Almost looked like an Achilles snappage.
Yeah. He definitely slipped and tripped.
He jogged it back to the dugout.
I think
he's okay.
Todd One said injuries are going to be key to this team's success, or any team for that matter.
Sort of think with the Tigers, they force certain guys in, and I think the injuries kind of get they let the cream rise to the top, so to speak. There's some guys I wouldn't mind just seeing out of the lineup at this point, so we can give other people an opportunity.
The Tigers are not seeing this four-seam fastball that's 95-96. That Blake Snell's just dealing right now.
Another one of my fantasy players, Riley Green.
I think he could be in line for an MVP.
I was able to pluck him off of free agency. That tells you how many Detroit fans there are in our fantasy league.
Yeah, clearly they don't get Michigan and Trumbull. So let's talk about a couple other things.
Yes.
26-man roster was revealed, a couple surprises. And I'm going to let you do the live while if you don't mind keeping us updated, and then I'm going to switch screens here for a minute.
Yep. Nope, do your thing.
And focus a little bit more on this. In terms of the lineup, I have to say I was not terribly surprised, and I don't think you were either. That being said, there's a couple things that are just absolute head-scratchers. I think we sensed it coming, but it's frustrating to say the least. So I'm hoping
I hate to stop you, but Riley just swung at a pitch that bounced on home plate and struck out. So that'll do it for the first inning. Blake Snell looks like he's dialed in.
Yeah, the four-seamer's just crushing these guys. Catcher, no surprise. There's two, Jake Rogers, Dylan Dingler. First base, we've got one, Colt Keith. Second base, Gleyber Torres. Shortstop, there's two, Trey Sweeney, Javier Baez. Third base, Zach McKinstry, who's out of options. Andy Abanez, who's also batting leadoff today. Outfielders, three, Riley Green, Kerry Carpenter, Manuel Margot, the newest Tiger. Designated hitter, Spencer Torkelson. Utility, Ryan Creedler. Essentially, he's there just to play center field and provide defense. Direct quote from Scott Harris. AJ Hinch alluded to it. It's not a direct quote. We're favoring strong defense over hitting. And I think that's just because that's what they have at their disposal at this point. Starting
pitchers, says exciting. like we're favoring defense in baseball.
With an opening series against the Dodgers and then the Mariners.
Okay.
Starting pitchers, we've already done this, but Skubal, Flaherty, Olson, Jobe, Mize. Relief pitchers, this is where really the biggest surprise is coming. You've got John Brebbia, Bo Brisky, Brennan Hanafy, Tyler Holton, Brant Herder, Tommy Cannell, Kenta Maeda, and Will Vest. So there's really no surprises there. What is surprising is that Jason Foley was sent down to AAA Toledo.
He had a really bad spring.
He had a rough spring, but he was money but last
he was
year.
What did he convert? What was it, 38 of 42 save opportunities or something like crazy number last year? He had a crazy save conversion number last year.
They would not have been the Tigers team that went on that hot streak if it had not been for what he did last year. So I think that's the biggest surprise. I hope to see him get called up. We've touched on Andrew Chafin also being a left-handed arm. He is nowhere near throwing to his career, you know, normal velocity, if you would. So that remains a wait and see. I still like the signing for the fact that it was a high ceiling, low floor. I expect to see Foley back, and I can't, you know, beat the Tigers up anymore on this, but I don't understand having two center fielders that are below WAR players in Margot and Creedler. I don't understand, like, having two of those, does that mean that it's actually a positive WAR? I mean, that's not really how it works, right?
And Foley had 28 of 32 saves. That was his conversion last year. So not 38 of 42. That was a little excessive, but 28 of 32. But that's still very good.
Good news, Skubal looks like it was a sinker and got Shohei to chase it and ground out to first. So
that's a victory.
Huge victory. And his reward, he gets to face Mookie Betts.
Exactly. It's just one after another.
Their 40-man is better than, 27 through 40 is probably better than half the lineups.
Mookie's coming off of violent stomach virus of some sort. Uh-huh. He said he lost 20 pounds or something.
It was 15.
I wouldn't mind going on one of those viruses, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, because he looks fine now.
Looks fine now.
He's a little bit thinner.
Just feed him a couple pizzas. He's good.
Either that or maybe he's a big, you know, Los Angeles has a very good pastrami scene.
That's true.
So maybe he's been at, you know, Langer's Deli eating the 19 or something like that.
Oh, he didn't get it all, though. Warning track. That'll do. Fly out to Betts.
On this for everybody. Betts hit it to Green in left field. I'd say it's probably more a can of corn than early warning track. But
that was a pretty good shot, actually.
You know, if he were 20 pounds heavier, I think that would have gone out.
You think it's that? You think he needed 20 more pounds to get it over that warning track?
But thus far, Skubal is looking every bit where he left off last season.
Teoscar Hernandez also on the fantasy squad.
Oh, nice.
Not necessarily cheering for them against the Tigers. I can take an L on one day, two days, three days.
It's
emotions are on the Tigers side, but the business end of things, I'm cheering for a few of the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Little tapper down the line. Tigers get out of the first easy.
Nicely done.
Minimal pitches. Good job, Scoobs.
Hey, and we've got another final. Phillies took care of the Nationals in extra innings, 10 innings, 7-3.
Do you think now the Phillies, there's talk around Harper and who they're going to sign next, who they're going to pick up. I saw something the other day. I thought he said Kyle Tucker would be an acquisition possibly in the offseason. What are your thoughts on the Phillies? They've spent money. They've got guys. They've got horses. They've got young guys. They got to get by the Dodgers. I mean, everybody in the NL, it's like, we got to get by the Dodgers, right?
So a couple things on this. Number one, I think that's a really well-built roster.
Yeah.
It's Dave Dombrowski.
They've got good pitching.
Zach Wheeler's a true ace.
Nola, Wheeler.
Yeah. So I really like their 1-26. To answer your question, yes, they would have to get past the Dodgers, but not only that, they have to get out of their own division.
Yeah, I was about to say.
The Mets have
enough of a challenge there.
Yeah, the Mets are serious, and outside of the Dodgers and maybe what's forthcoming for the Tigers in the next 3 to 5 seasons, the Braves have the best farm system, or at least young players right now. So they've got a lot of talent in the division, and I could see all three of those teams, the Mets, Braves, and Phillies, all being playoff teams. Obviously, I'm going to pencil in the Dodgers now. I think you know, you and I talked about this and touched on it a little bit. Whoever wins the NL Central, I don't know that they can even win a series.
I don't know. They're going to come up against a buzzsaw. I'm really hoping, you spoke about the Braves there a little bit, really hoping Acuña stays healthy.
Sam, he's so
I think he's
fun
such
to
a
watch.
Great dynamic player. It's the league's better when he's in it.
You know, that might playing. Be next episode. We'll compile our, not best players, but just like,
guys you want to see do well. People that need to do well for baseball to do well. And is that a good topic?
Yeah, and it's also something that we should treat as like a homework assignment. You know, we both live close to major league ballparks, so that, like, you know, we talked about when the Pirates are in town, and if, you know, Paul Skins is on the mound, that's something we should go see.
Yeah.
I mean, he's one of those players, but obviously so are, I mean, Acuña is not the only Brave that I would pay money to see. I think the Phillies are must watch. Clearly, the Juan Soto contract and experiment in Flushing, Queens is going to be fascinating as well. So I do think baseball is going through a golden period here with Shohei and others that we just mentioned leading the charge on this.
Torque is up right now. Torque is leading off the second inning. He's got a 1-1 count. And I told you earlier, Torque has been a guy that I have cheered for every year since they brought him up. And he's the one guy I want to see do well.
He would be on my list.
A redemption year for him right now would sit really well.
When he's raking, it's just a lot more fun.
I just feel like the potential is still there. And this, it reeks of, like, if we traded him, he didn't go. He didn't go. Nice.
He didn't go. Yeah.
Worked a walk in his first at bat.
I will take that all day long.
I'll take that. Good job, Torque. First base runner of the year, Spencer Torkelson.
He sat on the four seamer. And guess what? Snell threw.
He almost went. He almost went.
No. Well, he sat on it before that, too. So, all right, here we go. Boy, I wouldn't mind being in Chavez Ravine. Did you see those guys eating a couple Dodger dogs, drinking Tall Boy Modelos?
We got a duck on the pond, second inning. We get Manuel Amargo. This is the least sexy thing I've ever seen in my life.
He's got a great beard, though. For those that haven't seen it, it is not quite James Harden, but if he gives it 60 days, he might approach that. And he has a little salt and pepper in it, too.
I'd rather see Justin Henry Molloy here.
So would I.
I would trade whatever we get in the field. This is just...
Well, let's let it play out.
Oh, my gosh. Did he drop it in? Oh, he got a hit. Prove me wrong.
You're going to have to take back everything you've been saying the last...
Torque flies into third base. Margo into
good
right
base
for a
running,
single.
Spencer.
We got him on the corners with no outs. Look at that. And well, Margo, Comeback season.
American
right
League
here.
Comeback player of the year.
Comeback player that he never was there, but we can name he's a comeback player that never was there to begin with.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Hey,
good job, Manuel. Way to make me look like an ass. That's great.
Really quick, I do have a couple other updates for you.
Yeah.
On the comments section.
Yeah.
Brother-in-law Brett.
I saw the Todd Jones comment.
Yeah, we made his day. And he is on pins and needles waiting for this pod to drop.
I wouldn't mind if he sent us some shirts. Some of those Todd Jones Saves shirts.
I mean, I think we did this 20 years ago.
Can we recreate those?
Yeah, I think I'll ask.
That shirt wouldn't fit me right now, I guarantee it.
The 20 year ago one?
Yeah. You guys are probably wearing mediums or something.
It was a schmedium back in the day.
Yeah, it was a schmedium or something back in the day. Yeah.
And we bought like a bad brand. It was if it was 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even think that was American.
Pre-stretchy materials.
Or, you know, what's the really good t-shirt? It was like Gildan, like one of those bad brands that like you get a 3-pack at Target for like $10, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But
I feel like you're wearing a potato sack.
But he made it happen is what's important. So I'll see since he's a good friend of the pod. The other update I wanted to give you is the 1934 team autographed Tigers ball did sell on eBay.
Did it? Did you fetch a nice price for that?
$1,000.
Not bad. Not bad. That's pretty good.
A little negotiation back and forth. And
that happens.
16-year-old Grady Patterson, who runs the family's eBay account, was very thrilled to learn that
fantastic
money goes in his pocket.
Oh, boy. Colt Keith with an ugly tapper in front of the plate.
Torque.
Torque gets caught off third. It was an ugly hit. And Keith stumbling out of the box, too. I'm assuming things are a little soggy out there. It must have rained in Chavez Ravine recently.
Is that or they were fearful of the Tigers' base path.
Keith came stumbling out of the box there going to first. You don't like to see that. And I don't expect Torque to be an elite base runner. I care that he gets on base.
But that was... certainly looked like a hit and run. And yeah. Keith was the one
that's
that
the problem.
That
he get yeah. He just didn't get all of it.
And yeah, that was.
So it was a little ugly.
Heck, if he had like bunted it to first base, it would have been it would have scored a run.
Yeah, potentially.
He just got caught. He got caught in a hit and run. Yep. Okay. Baez. What does Baez do? First pitch to Baez of the season, and he swings. Takes probably like a typical Baez over swing cut at a high fastball. Doesn't come anywhere near it. There's your 184 batting average last season,
Baez. In his credit,
Baez.
That's the fastest pitch I've seen Snell throw today. That was 98 miles an hour. And it did look like the four-seamer again.
Baez, and he rolls over one to third, gets thrown out first. He did advance the runners. So we now have two outs with a guy on second and third. You're playing the Dodgers. You need to take advantage of guys on first and third with no outs. And he just hit the ball pretty much where you don't want to put it. I don't know.
I think you're right about the rain, too. If you look at the steps in
Dodger
Stadium.
Yeah, I think everything got a little soggy. They're slipping all over the place out there.
Yeah. Dodgers aren't, though. They probably wore their proper cleats.
They might have got their proper cleats on.
All right, what do you think?
Well, so we talked about this. The last five guys in a lineup, were they going to be productive? So you get the first five are getting on base, whatever. And then what happens at the end of the lineup? Do you just, poo the bed here? I mean, we've got Jake Rogers up with guys in second and third right now. I'd love to see the mustache plop one into the outfield here. Thread a hole, hit a gap. Whatever, but I don't have a lot of faith.
His mustache is looking
beautiful, trimmed
glorious.
Properly.
I mean, just a auburn hue, bushy
auburn steak on his upper lip there.
Yeah.
Oh, not sausage.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Wow. Yeah, I guess if I could grow a stache like that, I probably would. That thing is just—it's
so bushy.
You can't even find
his mouth. It's like, oh man,
everything's hidden.
Yeah.
Jake Rogers, did he get it? 2 feet short. 2 feet short. Jake, I thought he got one.
Warning track power. All right.
No,
wow.
He caught it as good as Jake Rogers can catch it, and it comes down 2 or 3 feet in front of the wall. Oh, my goodness. It looked good, too.
That was
looked good
really,
off the bat.
Man, that was fun.
Not enough mustache.
Maybe his mustache lost some weight when Mookie Betts went to Japan.
That would have been the way right there.
Oh my
Sit
God,
here and complain about the end of the order, and then Jake Rogers cranks a three-run bomb.
Just makes me eat my words.
He had a game last year I was watching. He had two home runs. I think it was against who's it against? It was like a hometown team. So I think it was Houston. It wasn't in the playoffs. End of the season. Was it Houston or was it Texas? I can't remember. It was whoever his hometown team was. Cranked two home runs out in the same game. And I was like, oh my, this is like Jake Rogers' best game he's ever played.
All righty. You're almost out of wine. And are we going to see one more inning?
I think we're going to see one more Scooble effort here. And then we're going to call it so we can go relax and watch all our sports this evening. As you described it earlier, a cornucopia of sports this evening.
That was what I texted my partner in crime here, Chet West, because we've got the Sweet 16 starting in NCAA men's basketball. We also have the Sweet 16 starting for women's basketball, but that doesn't happen until tomorrow.
True.
We have men's collegiate hockey playoffs going on, and both Chet and I's
the
alma
Frozen
maters.
Frozen Four.
Well, Frozen Four won't happen until
Not happening
2 weeks.
Yet, but
this is the lead-in. Yeah. These are the regionals. Yep. And I'm proud to say that both of our alma maters are one seeds in this. Your Western Michigan Broncos are the one seed in the Fargo region, and my Michigan State Spartans are the one seed in the Toledo region. So,
and I have not seen a score yet from that.
You're tied 1-1.
We are
the
tied.
Spartans are up 3-2.
I was wondering if we were going to give up that 1-0 lead. Well,
that was the last, but I've really been more focused on the Tigers right now.
Totally understood.
I try not to watch hockey and pod.
It's probably not a good combination.
So here's my question for you. The other part of this is it doesn't seem like the Tigers have much of a bench.
So who do you bring? So, yeah, who do you bring off the bench at this point?
I mean, what are your good options? Chemistry?
I was just about to say, boy, was that Freeman?
Oh, boy.
Warning track. Man, a lot of stuff dying on that warning track in left field today. Freeman caught that one pretty good, and it looked almost like a patented Freddie Freeman go the other way home run there.
Yeah, but things are dying in left field today.
Yeah,
so it's either the marine layer, the smog,
you think
or
it's the marine
humidity.
Layer? You're getting caught up in the marine layer?
I mean, just pick one of the three.
It's not
nighttime
yet. The ball's not flying out of there.
The only time I've been to Chavez Ravine was for a weekend series, Giants-Dodgers, with a buddy of mine, Dave Ellsbury. And Sunday morning when I got up, I swear I had black lung.
Did you have a Dodger dog?
Oh, yeah.
You had to have, right?
Yeah, one each game.
That's a must.
Yeah. Have you been to Chavez Ravine?
I've never been to Chavez Ravine.
I would highly recommend it. And we might have to do a road trip next season.
A field trip of some sort.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now that the schedule is more
balanced. When this podcast is making $1 million a season, we'll go visit all the ballparks.
How about, like,
quit our jobs, go visit all the ballparks.
I think we should just do it anyway.
There's another. Oh, boy, that's gone.
Oof.
Yikes. Yeah.
1-0 Dodgers.
That was a...
Boy.
My goodness.
So Scooble threw a sinker Tommy Edman. And
smoked that thing.
Yeah, he saw that the whole way.
Well, you don't like seeing Freeman get a hold of one back to the track, and then Edman just scorch one out to left.
Wow. Right over 401 feet, yeah. A 21-degree launch angle, and almost 109 miles an hour.
All right, 1-0. 1-0 Dodgers,
well,
second inning.
The Tigers' hit and run worked. It wouldn't be this, but... More on that.
This is the problem. Like, you know, you got to take advantage when you got a minute to do it. You got to take advantage, and they didn't.
All right, good for Scooble. He came out and dealt.
The next guy on one pitch.
Yep. Margot caught a can of corn, if you would, out in right field.
The camera angles are getting pretty incredible. That was a catcher cam of some sort we saw there of Edman's home run from behind the plate. That's crazy angle right there.
So I've got a Dodger sponsor for you, a little fun one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, if you go back to Beastie Boys' epic second album, Paul's Boutique,
yes,
there's a line that says, I've got more suits than Jacoby and Myers,
mm-hmm.
Which Jacoby and Myers is a ambulance-chasing law firm. So,
no kidding.
Yeah, and they advertise at Chavez Ravine and all over the rental area by LAX. And,
fantastic.
That, yeah, so just a little knowledge for y'all.
All right, there's out number three. Muncy flies out to Margot in right field. So we kept it to one run on the Edman homer. Then he gets to deal with the top of the lineup. Well, not the top of the lineup, but we have Mr. Creedler coming up. How do you feel about that?
Not optimistic.
No.
No. But you know what? This is good potting.
Yeah.
Let's end here so that we can
open
here. With.
That's a good idea. The next episode, we'll talk about Ryan Creedler and the rest of the game.
We're
going to be off for a little bit, though. I'm gone next week.
Yeah, unless you want me to fly to your home studio and do a one-man pod.
You can do a one-man pod if you want, but I would welcome it.
I can't do it without you. It's too soon.
No. It's way too soon to go solo these days.
Yeah. All right.
I wouldn't even think of it. All right, man.
All right.
Enjoy your sports cornucopia tonight.
I appreciate it. You as well. And,
sounds good.
Go Broncos, go Spartans, go Tigers, and go whoever else you have in the trunk.
Whoever else we got going. All right. Sounds good. Talk to you.